50% righteousness.
Yo, Angela Yee, I love you.
50% ratchetness.
Tell them ratchets to sit down.
This is becoming the most prominent forum for hip-hop.
Wake your ass up.
Yeah, it's early in the morning, but they told me it was y'all. I say, oh, hell yeah, I'm getting up.
The world's most dangerous morning show. DJ Envy.
Your people's choice.
Angela Yee.
I'm a sweetheart, but I'll cut you.
Charlamagne the God.
Prince of pissing people off.
I can't believe you guys are the best, kid.
Collectively known as
Breakfast Club, bitches.
That was Bryson Tiller with Exchange. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building who I seen in the hall. I said, you're coming for war.
That's not what you said. And a fitted.
Like, he's Aries, coming to bang.
What'd he say?
What this Wobble Color Negro
said. What'd he say?
He said,
uh-oh.
Aries Spears look like he just came off the train. He said, Aries Spears got on a champion hoodie and some Timberlands. Look like he about to stick somebody
I
up.
I said, he got Jack Boy outfit on.
That's a fair assessment. Yeah. I came out of a cab, but.
So what's been up with you, man?
On the grind, baby. Just trying to stay relevant. You know what I mean?
What happened to Aries Spears? Like, I told him before you walked in, I was like, Aries was on everything. Me growing
Mad
up, he was
TV,
like one of those guys.
Live
right. TV, movies. Shows. He was all over New York. You find him in the club, comedy shows.
You didn't want to sacrifice the GOAT?
No. It ain't got nothing to do. But I'm just curious. When you say what happened, why you say what happened?
We don't see you as much as we used to.
He's saying you fell off, Aries.
I did not say fell off.
That's what he's trying to say, Aries. He's trying to say you fell off, Aries?
Nah, you know, it's funny to me. I know that's not what he's trying to say, but you know, it's funny to me. It ain't like cats don't say that. You know, I read the Twitter. I hear what people say. Mm-hmm. But, you know, people lose perspective. You know, if falling off means going to Abu Dhabi and doing one show for 80 grand, you know, then you wish to fall off. If falling off means traveling all around the country, you know, going to Europe, going to, you know, Australia, going to Africa, doing shows with a fan base, then, yeah, you wish you was me. You know what I'm saying? It's like I do my job. You know, I eat for free, drink for free. I travel damn near for free. You know, go anywhere I want, get love, you know.
It's like being a woman.
Being famous for a dude is like being a beautiful woman. A beautiful woman. So people's perspective is hilarious to me when they say fall off. Because it's like, look, if you could have my life based on what you do, and it ain't about trying to be braggadocious or nothing, but it's like, look, I can make in one weekend what you make in a year. You know what I'm saying? So when people say, yo, you falling off, it's like, if I fell off, then where you at?
Do you think times have changed as far as being able to be the Paul Mooney type, I guess, being able to speak your mind because of social media and things like that?
You know what? Not really. You would think that it has, but not really. You know, I'm trying to learn a little bit and hold back a little bit more because I know some of the things I say can sometimes be off-putting or shocking. You know, I'm trying to figure it out. You know, people think that me and Kevin Hart really had a beef. There is no beef. How you gonna beef with somebody that huge? You know, I never had a beef. I had an opinion.
Yeah, what was your opinion? Because people were mad at that.
You know, I was just simply saying that, you know, it's almost like every comedian, we always have the intention of when we come out with a new joke, we want that joke to be a home run, out of the park, grand slam. That's your intention, but it don't always work out like that. Sometimes it do, sometimes it don't. So if your intention is to be up here and you somewhere in here, you got to, pardon me, you got to work it and craft it till you get it to that point. Mm-hmm. And sometimes all it takes is a word, a phrase, a physical movement, a little something extra to take you from here to here. And if somebody gives you the ingredient, whatever that is, to go from here to here, how do you claim genius? Because if your bitch starts out like this, knowing you wanted to be here, then you get it here and go, yo, that's genius. It was brilliant. Okay, but before it was brilliant, where did you get that to take it to the top?
So basically, he has writers.
I'm just saying, yeah, you know, when you got somebody that can help give you that last, you make a gumbo and you go, something's missing.
Doesn't every comedian have a writer?
No, every comedian doesn't. You might have writers for TV show or movie, but no, not every comic for stand-up? Nah.
What about a stand-up special on TV?
Same thing. It's stand-up. It's stand-up. Mm-hmm. So many of the, if you look at a lot of comedy specials at the end of it, when you look at the credits, it says written and produced by, and 9 times out of 10 is one name. Mm. Every now and then, yeah, you might get somebody with a written by 2 people, but usually it's one name, one author. That's it.
This is my thing with comedians, right? Like, every comedian has to mention Kevin Hart in some way, and it's never like a flattering thing, and I always wonder why.
Well, first, I've always started off immediately by going, yo, Kevin Hart is so legit. As a talent,
no disrespect,
the boy is legit.
But,
yeah. You know what I mean? So I ain't never said he wasn't funny.
Right, yeah.
The boy is the truth. I'm just saying, as far as stand-up goes, it's real hard to come out with a banging hour that consistently. And I understand, you know, he says I work hard and all that, and I get that and I respect it. But again, if you got somebody telling you, hey, man, that joke you just did, say this instead. And that's the difference between 1 in 10.
Maybe Kev's just that good.
Again, in what sense?
As far as being able to deliver an hour every year.
By himself? Written by himself? All him?
Yeah, maybe. Because you got to think about how much he's on the road and how much he travels, all the different places he goes. He's got a lot of material to draw from.
And a lot of that stuff is from his own life, too. Like his family, his kids. Like he said, he doesn't really get into politics
right.
and things like that too much. He talks more about his family.
God bless him. God bless him. It was my opinion.
You said you and Kev have no problems, and he's launching his comic network.
Yeah.
Would you do something on his comic network?
He said specifically he would have you on.
Absolutely. Listen, man, if the money right, I'm there. Mm-hmm. You know, and like I said, there never was any beef. It's a shame now that you can't say something about somebody, an opinion, yeah, and people run with it like, you know, it's blasphemy.
You know what I think it is? Because you're a respected comic also, and I guess it holds more weight. Anything holds more weight when you say it than when somebody on Twitter says something.
Right. I think people just look for drama.
Comedian from Mad TV, Ari Spears in the building. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Got that masterpiece. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have comedian from Mad TV, Ari Spears, in the building. Now, Yee?
There's this perception of comics being happy and telling jokes on stage, but in real life, they're depressed.
You know what makes me miserable and depressed is this business, because it's not what it should be. Mm-hmm. I got into this thinking it was about your talent. You did your thing, and then next thing, boom. This stuff is so political. It's so political. It's so racist. Like, this business is dirty.
You were there. You was on a different world. You did Mad TV.
Yeah.
You did so many specials, Def Comedy Jam. You were there.
You know what? That might be easy to say from the outside looking in. Mm. But I'm telling you, it's so many pitfalls and dirtiness to this. It's unreal.
What happened? Did you invite you to an Illuminati meeting? Or did you?
Nah.
Somebody, you in a room.
I'm going to give you an example. Like, the girl that does the mother on Family Guy, mm-hmm. Alex Borenstein. She was on Mad TV. She did Miss Swan. Mm-hmm. One of the most racist C-words I've ever been around.
Really?
Like, yeah, me and Deborah was in the makeup room one day. And, you know, me and Deborah like brother and sister. Well, our chemistry was there. And one day we just sitting around waiting to shoot. So Alex just starts looking at her fingernails. And she keeps rubbing her fingernails. And Deborah used to date Pat Kilbane, the white boy on the show. So she goes, oh, my God, Pat. I got all this black dirt under my fingernails like I was raped by an N-word, and I got the evidence to prove it.
Yikes.
So me and Deborah took offense to that.
Right.
So, you know, we complained to the
producers. You should.
Right? So, yeah. So we complained to the producers about it, and turn out the producers was like Aries and Deborah making trouble. And we got singled out for being troublemakers.
Wow.
We was troublemakers for being insulted that somebody said that.
Right.
I mean, how do you know what I'm saying? Like, how you blame the victim? How you blame the rape? You know what I mean? And so it's like, and that's the kind of thing, that's the kind of thing Hollywood is. It's so political and so racial. You got to watch where you step. You got to watch what you say, because all of it is crazy.
At what point, there had to be at least one moment where you knew, all right, they ain't rocking with me. Like, was there something in a meeting or somebody you're talking to?
To be honest, man, I felt like that for the last couple of years.
Mm.
I truly believe to some extent, whether it's true or not, or whether I don't have any actual evidence of it, but to some degree, I believe I'm blackballed, man.
What though?
I just because there's a stigma.
Gotcha.
You know, my manager's even told me, he goes, well, you know, people will go, yeah, he's talented, but it ain't worth the trouble. We heard he's this, we heard he's that.
That's true, too. People always say you have a bad attitude. So I wonder, do you think, is there anything that make you say it could be me?
Yeah, I should smile more.
Yeah.
You know, I should interact. I look like the Mahujadeen if I don't smile. It looks
even
serious.
If you smile in that hoodie, I'm walking the other way. Like, right?
Well, listen, man, I'm gonna be honest. I ain't gonna lie. I was slightly intimidated coming here because again, perception. From what I heard about Charlamagne and the way people say he is, I didn't know if I'm gonna come to the studio and he gonna try and test me.
That's terrible. That's a terrible perception.
I've
never been that way.
Never heard that.
I know I hear that all the time, but I never do that to
before
people.
You walked in, he said he wanted to make you cry today. No, I'm just kidding.
Now, Key and Peele, because you talked about Mad TV only being like the farm league or whatever, but Key and Peele went on to tremendous success. And it's funny because you, to me, was the face of that show more than Key and Peele.
Well, one, Key and Peele got on when the Titanic was sinking. When the show was at the apex of its success and its popularity, they weren't on. Well, once Will left, Mo left, Deborah, and a lot of the people that helped define the show during that time period, the Titanic was sinking. The writing wasn't as strong. The cast wasn't as strong. And I think more of their popularity came from their own sketch show, okay. the Key and Peele show, than it did Mad TV. And again, God bless them. But and again, that's another thing I caught flack for.
You said that Key and Peele weren't chosen by the black community.
Black people like to go, well, what's being black? Well, I got to talk with ghetto and slang and act ignorant. It's the essence. There's a vibe. Black people have a natural cool, a natural swagger. When a dog come in the room, smell another dog. You know what I'm saying? It's like brothers that are black on the outside, but you could tell, you smell something ain't right. They ain't got that, something's missing in the gumbo.
I don't know if you articulated well enough for people to understand, but I get exactly what you're saying when you say that.
You know what I'm saying?
Understand exactly what you mean when you say that.
But like, I feel like this. They seem like people I went to college with that are black. You know what I'm saying? It's just a different type of...
Listen, Will Smith is educated and as articulate and as bright as any congressman or president or scholar.
But he's a brother.
But he's a brother.
But I feel like this is kind of nerdy.
But DMX is gutter, gully, razor in the mouth while he talk to you, and he's a brother. Now, they two different kind of, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. One's the Huxtables, one is Good Times. Right. But they both legitimately black.
Mm-hmm. Key and Peele don't have...
They don't.
Black core.
They don't.
Like, you know, like, even Kev Hart got a black core. Dave Chappelle had a black core.
Right. Listen, core. I'm not saying just because you black dude with a white woman, you not black. But most black dudes with white women don't tend to be in touch with who they are. And the ones that are usually have white women that want to be Nick.
Nate Parker would disagree with you.
Right.
He made a movie about Nat Turner, and he has a white wife.
Well, making a movie and being who you really are is two different things. We just talked about that. I could make a movie being a semi-homosexual. That don't mean I'm homosexual. So just because you make a movie on racism don't mean you...
What is a semi-homosexual? What is that?
We're going to leave it there.
What is a semi... Because you said you're all in or you're not. What is a semi...
Yeah.
Just a tip.
Yeah, you know what I mean, man.
There you have it.
There you go.
The Breakfast Club.
Thank you.
The Breakfast Club.
That was Beyonce with Sorry. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. One of our favorite people up here today.
Young Dro.
Young Dro.
What's good, man?
You making up for lost time because you was locked up?
How you going to just start it off like that? Hey, how you doing?
Hey, how are you?
Hey, I've been cool, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, but I just got out.
I don't think my brother drove. Good, man.
And Young Joe shot us out on his mixtape and everything.
Yeah, he did.
Breakfast Club.
Sure did, man.
Sure
come
did.
On, listen. Not love. I had got in trouble at a college, but it wasn't my fault this time. I was totally innocent. Well, everybody in jail laughed at me when I said that. I was like, I didn't do it. They bust out laughing, but I didn't do it. Like, we pulled up on the set. The cops, they let us in. They, you know, they walked me to the stage or the room or whatever. And I changed and went on the stage and performed.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm performing. You know, you seen the Juice movie?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Dude come
in,
like,
you get off the stage.
I'm like, me? Like, yeah, right now. So I come off the stage. We walk outside. They got the car surrounded. My man Spody walk up to me like, yo, bro, it's a trip in the car. It's like a tool in the car. I'm like, all right. We know who that is, you know what I mean? So they asked me, they was like, this your gun? I'm like, I really don't know about a gun. All these years we've been performing, I don't tow guns to shows, that's not what I do. So he was like, it's a gun in the car. I was like, it's somebody's in the car. I'm not the pointer, you feel me? Man, we just didn't want to...
Tell on the person. Like,
yeah, we don't do that. Don't make me point at you.
But see, I hate people like that in your crew. If that's your gun, man, say that's your gun.
Unless this would have been it for
no,
him.
No, man.
So the cop was cool, he was like, yo, y'all just get it together because, you know, one of y'all taking this.
I'm going to give y'all a moment. Yeah,
that man gave us a moment. It took like 10, 15 minutes. He was like, F that. Put the cuffs on Joe. I was like, for real? He put me in the back of the car, man. I'm looking out the back of the car like, man, my mama going to get y'all. Boy, wait, I tell my mama this, bro. You can't even eat on my house no more. Ain't no more collard green for you, Spody. You can't eat no more. But we go to jail, bro. We sitting. They found weed, you know what I mean? Stuff like, you know, hip-hop stuff.
Yeah.
What hip-hop stuff?
Weed, pills, lean.
Who told you?
You said hip-hop stuff.
Yeah, what Charlamagne just said. But that's like...
Recreational.
It wasn't even that much stuff in it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the weed was less than an ounce. I took initiative to say, you know, since we all in here, let's just go ahead and split the charges up, because I'm from the project, you know. Hey, man, look.
I'll take the weed.
Yeah, you take that.
You got to talk to a lawyer before you start splitting
but
up
no,
charges.
No, because we don't want to talk to no lawyer, because we could just make bond, and we'll deal with that later. Mm-hmm. But for now, all of us has the same charge.
Yeah.
You feel me? Mm-hmm. So the lawyer going to say, what you going to take? You feel me? But you got to have this worked out. We 50 steps behind. Man, the man down there, is he done went into a phase. He's like, yo, I got a career. I'm like, who the fuck get that guy? My boy Spody. Like, I'm like, bro, come on.
That's still your boy, Spody?
Spody, the one, yeah, my boy, you know. Well, that was my partner. You know, I guess it wasn't for me because he turned the story around and was like, they're just saying the gun is mine because of who Dro is.
No,
it's his gun.
Man.
He has a record.
No, he has,
man, I'm not like, bruh.
No.
We cuffed, like, from the waist down. I'm trying to slide so I can headbutt him, you know what I mean? And it went, you know what I mean? I'm like, bro, you know I'm going to get you, bro. You feel me? But we end up doing, like, 35 days, like, so it's been a crazy.
Oh, y'all had to do it?
Yeah, we just sitting, and we're in Bullock County. It's slow. The courtroom's about this big, the size of this room. So the people's in there got 30, 40 years, getting 30 and 40, like because it was like a town that had like surrounding states, so everybody was a flight risk. They don't give buns and set bails and stuff like that too often, 2-3 times a year.
Yeah.
So really, we really got, you know, we had to pay like a lot of money for lawyers. The Migos had went down there before.
Yeah.
And I guess they whatever they did, but it was like, you know the Migos? You better ask the Migos what we did to them. I was like, I honestly don't know what you're talking about. It was messed up, so we sat down there 35 days. The last day we sat down there, dude was sitting in there. We was going to court. I looked. I was like, bro, you're not going to take the charge? He was like, bro, I ain't have no gun, bro.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it,
like,
bro.
Don't lie to me. We rolled
down here together, yeah, my boy. Like, cool. And he was like, yeah, man. So they moved the boy out the room. I feel for my life from Dro. I'm like, bro, I hired you to come on the road to open up. Like, how you feel for your life? Like, that was crazy. So we did that time, got out. It set me back. Like, I missed, like, 7 shows. I'm trying to currently make those up. Mm-hmm. I got 3 daughters, you know what I mean? I'm not, and a son. I just had a son, a 1-year-old. Like, I ain't trying to sit down here either, bro.
And Jocelyn pregnant now.
Congratulations. You got another one.
You got baby on the way. All right.
You know what I mean, Dro? You out here working.
So you think that's my baby?
We read it on the blind.
They asked you about it. You said no comment.
No comment. I did.
Why not just say no, Dro?
That what if it's my baby?
Because what if it is? He said.
And you're probably the only man that can prove that she a real woman then, because I thought that was a man for the longest.
That's a real woman, bro. I would not be in cahoots with, like,
cahoots.
Is that the right term?
No, I
would not be associated with a man that looks like a woman. It's a problem right there, bro. You just got to look at it.
Yeah, Adam's apple. Yeah.
So there is a chance that could be your baby. You just don't know yet.
I'm the baby dad.
Okay. Are you?
You all right?
You're damn well. I got the baby dad.
All right. We got more with Young Dro when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
That was for free, DJ Khaled. Drake, morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, Young Dro is in the building.
Did you think T.I. was out of line for coming at Wayne?
Black lives what? I'm
matter.
Richer than a mother. Come at me with that shit. I saw that shit. I was like, I clenched in embarrassment. I was like, no, I don't like that.
Yeah, right. I'm with you.
No, that was not cool. I mean, I get it, what he was saying. Like, you know,
I don't.
He's successful, you know, and, you know, a lot of people do stuff to, you know, get the police involved in. You know, you shouldn't stand behind nobody in their wrong. But you're part of the stuff that's happening. Like, your skin tone, it shows it. You feel me?
Yeah.
And we're not getting the good end of the stick. You know, I think all lives matter for that cause.
Because everybody was saying T.I. was wrong for publicly calling them out because they friends. And he could have called them on the phone.
Well, Reginae said that,
no,
too.
No, you can't say that because that was a public thing he did.
I agree.
You answer him back publicly.
Damn right.
You know what I mean? Somebody whoop your ass outside, whoop their ass back outside. I ain't gonna whoop your ass in the house. I ain't gonna know I whoop your ass.
Yeah, I gotta whip you on World Star, too.
You gonna beat World Star?
Nah, see, I look at it like if your friend says something stupid or something that don't make sense.
You suppose this.
But you might call him and check him on the line and say, I'm gonna check you. But I think you should reach out and call. If that's your
fault. Well, it's not, that's not a good check. That's not a check. That's a premeditated.
That's like reality show stand-up type.
That's like, all right, how many times you said something crazy and I'm sure T.I. called you and was like, bro.
But Dro ain't say nothing publicly that affects everybody. He may say something that affects him.
Yeah.
But not the whole black
life. Yeah, I might shatter my own life.
T.I. would probably call Dro.
My life don't matter.
My life don't matter. Your man, period. Yeah, but I saw that. I get it, but I don't get it. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of stuff going on right now. I got children, and I wouldn't want my son to be a Trayvon Martin. You know, I wouldn't want him to do that. It was Arizona juicing. You know what I mean? Come on, man. You just got to understand that it's a lot of stuff going on. People, when I seen the guy get pulled over in Charlotte or whatever, that was sickening. He was just walking back to the truck, bro. That thing, you know, he was laying on the ground. That matters, bro. Mm-hmm. You feel me? If you're in a bubble, well, you can't see that. I want to be in your bubble. I want to go live on Wayne Street because it's a lot of stuff happening on my street.
Was it one embarrassing moment or something that you looked at, you saw yourself, like you stepped?
Yeah, I had like 30 days to sit down, 35 days. Mm. And then like for me not to be done did nothing at that time, it was something else going on. So I just had to... I want to go to heaven at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
Look, his skin looking good. It's smooth. Teeth looking good.
I want to go. What did I look like? You didn't really look last time I came in?
No,
I know why you ain't called me. Why you ain't called me, Angela?
You didn't look bad.
Where's my teeth? I don't look bad. I was Jerome when I came here last time. Clearly my teeth were rotten.
This is a new Dro. Listen, it's a rehab facility in Atlanta. I'm telling you, whatever they did for Dro and Gucci, this is what everybody need to attend.
Shout out to Gucci, man.
Are you going to church every Sunday, Dro?
Not every Sunday.
Yeah.
But I want to go back the way I used to. But I'm kind of ashamed to go because I cry too much. I can't do it.
What you when they
with
start singing like...
On. You be good with your glasses on.
It come through tickling my jaw.
And you just be like, there you like go. This.
Is it the choir or the sermon?
The choir.
Yeah.
It's the song always.
What
the
song hymns. Is it?
You want me to just say, you just want me
you
to open.
To sing the song?
I just want to know the song.
Center of my joy.
Center of my joy.
Center of my joy.
Center of my joy.
Yeah, it was the first song I ever sung in church for my grandma. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it kind of takes me there.
Get the people something. Dro the Judge might be watching.
Jesus. Help Charlemagne because he's trying to make me sing.
There you have it, the new, improved Young Dro.
You want to leave us with a prayer?
Yeah. Let's join in.
Come on.
Oh, boy.
Dear God, thank you for this breakfast that we had at the club. Not the nightclub. It was actually a radio station. Thank you for Charlemagne for not cracking jokes in the worst way. All three of y'all did good today. All three of you. Thank you, God.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Young Dro.
Never had a prayer
club.
Like that before.
Good morning. That was Needed Me, Rihanna. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Ladies, hold on to your panties.
Oh, man. Maxwell.
Maxwell is here.
What's up, sir?
I'm trying, man. What's going on?
Now, I'm glad you're here because I saw... Oh, you do Snapchat, Maxwell?
Maxwell,
go ahead, post it. You can't save it because you'll be thinking about it the whole interview.
I just messed up my snap. That was a really good snap.
And you just erased
Yo,
it?
Yo, we out here. Maxwell.
Maxwell.
I'm trying. I'm doing
Breakfast
my best.
Club.
Okay, I know cool. Your DMs be popping.
Actually, yes, they do.
Yes, they do.
Yes, they definitely pop. Yeah, you know, Snapchat me that. You know.
Yeah.
It's an interesting world though, because I'm 42, so it's like I can't imagine what it would be like to be a 14-year-old with all of the social media the way it's going down.
Why haven't you connected with the people in so long, man? 7 years?
7 years, right? That's a long time.
Did you even realize that?
I don't. I got to tell you, I get anxiety about just trying to meet. The challenge of what I did before, and at the same time I don't want to play myself and try to look like I'm trying to be in the moment with all the kids
doing a record with Future.
Well, no, I don't get it to I know and love all of those records, like
right.
I listen to all everything. I mean, I listen to some really dark, raunchy trap, like all of that. But
what are you feeling right now?
Definitely, you know, Yo Gotti, definitely Travis Scott. I mean, you know, I be in the club, so I know what these songs are, and I can sing with them. But I always have to be really concerned about the brand and, like, what I've done, you know, starting in 96. And the fact that, like, my music is what you go home to after you've been where you've been. And hopefully it's with your family. Hopefully it's what you do on Sunday mornings when you're cooking. Mm-hmm. You get married to it. You having kids to it. Those types of things. So I've had to think about those issues as I see the ever-changing situation out there in the music world.
Now, you talked about the pressure. Now, is it a lot of pressure? Because you've always been, I say, left. Like, you never went with trends. I mean, from your first album to your videos, yeah. Is there pressure staying different and staying in that lane and staying and being as big as those other songs and other albums?
Yeah, for sure, no doubt. I'm not gonna lie to you about that. But that's part of the fun, you know. The part of the challenge of putting something together is saying to yourself, "Well, how can I maintain relevancy but still be?" This is always the greatest thing that I want is timelessness, mm-hmm. because so many people come and go. There are certain rules to the game about how you do that. And I think that if you stay true to the basics, you know, of what we're trying to exemplify, which is I'm not too detail oriented about shoes and cars. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I'm just kind of I try to talk about the bigger things in terms of just like, you know, heartbreak, pain, mm-hmm. betrayal, want to get somebody back for hurting you, mm-hmm. Not feeling like you're good enough. Those basic things are what we always feel no matter what the watch is that weekend, no matter what the sneaker is,
right.
No matter what the new car is, whatever it is, those are the things that we are always connected by.
How did you handle the fame when it came to these women, man? Because you're fresh out, making all this great R&B music. I'm sure girls was throwing it at you 100 miles per hour.
But not only that, the types, because he didn't have... If you think about it, he had quote-unquote earthy women.
Earthy? Yeah.
Models.
What does earthy mean, though?
Earthy is, you
just
know...
Just clarify. Okay, does that mean big?
No. But you have big women that you chose to.
I'm good with big.
The ones that shave when they want to, wear unks.
Right, that's cool.
You have those. Yeah. You have right.
Oils.
It's right. So many
the
different...
The Monique-type chicks.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, I feel you. Well, look, I just think everything is beautiful. And the weirdest thing for me is, like, when I look out into the audience... There'd be bad ones out there,
mm-hmm.
but they're the one that is the shyest, the one that maybe feels like, you know, I need to, like, you know, lose a few here, lose a few there. That's usually the one I focus right on because I feel like
I was a predator. You pick on the insecure ones? Jesus Christ, Maxwell.
I just want to make them feel good.
Right.
You know, at the end of the day, that's my job on stage. Mm-hmm. I just want to make you feel good, and everyone's gorgeous, everyone's sexy, but, you know, for me, I'm kind of a brain person, so it's like I think that the situations that sort of like will come to me on a personal level, because
mm-hmm.
I will be more mental. I'm 42, so it's like beauty. I understand beauty. Beauty is amazing, but when you wake up with someone after 10 years, you don't even remember that beauty part of it. You just know that you have a friend. You just know that, you know, you got somebody that's holding you down. Hopefully, like with my friend and manager John, you have someone who's raising your kids.
Mm-hmm.
That's you know, the day in and the day out of that. Like all that stuff fades, you know. So
you have kids?
No, not yet.
You said raising your kid. I thought you had some kids. I said, wow.
What you waiting
maybe
on?
Maybe I do. I don't know.
What you waiting on to let some of that legendary sperm go, man?
Well, you know what? I have this new. Actually, you know, it's interesting that you should bring this up, sir.
The legendary sperm.
I have a marketing plan.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of the albums, it'll be sperm. So I'm just gonna market the sperm.
You wanna get pregnant by Maxwell? Buy my new album.
Buy my new album.
Exactly.
Right there.
No.
That worked.
I'm just saying it's a new plan. I might put a single with it.
Okay. DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We have Maxwell in the building.
Like, I ain't gonna front. I've been to one of your shows, and I've been to two of your shows. And my wife likes to go to your shows.
Okay.
I went with my wife now,
okay.
But I went when she was my girl and stuff. And I realized I ain't going to no more Maxwell show. Because these shows ain't for men at all. It's just a bunch of screaming women.
Look,
he ain't thinking about us.
My wife goes with her friends. She's
hot and bothered.
Make me feel all funny.
Yeah, okay, go there, get excited, and bring your ass home.
What are you talking about?
I went with my wife one time, and I felt a little funny because everybody's screaming. I'm sitting in the corner like a sucker. So I'm like, you know what? You bring your girlfriend next time.
When he did Fortunate, I went to sleep. Because I was like, it's like sitting by your girl while she watching Scandal. She ain't paying you no attention. None.
It's basically like when you guys are watching the basketball game or
right.
football game.
Yeah.
So this is like their revenge on you, basically.
That is a fact.
I am the revenge of all those times. But no.
Mad pelvic thrust. Mad pelvic thrust. I'm like, if he thrusts one more time.
Hey, man, that ticket is expensive.
Yeah.
I mean, I got to put work in, but I'm just, look, at the end of the day, you get to take them home.
Yeah.
And you get to get situations that you probably never imagined would happen. I'm just, I can't believe it's 20 years later, guys. That's all I gotta say. I'm just, and I'm so happy that I'm kicking it with you because I hear you guys in the morning. You guys are funny.
Appreciate it.
You're real people. You know, you're in situations sometimes because you gotta speak about things and whatever. But, you know, I just appreciate all the support throughout the years. And I got you on those dance records on this new album.
Okay.
How'd you feel about the term Neo Soul? Because people always give you credit for being the star of that.
I can't say that because D'Angelo was released in 95. I have to admit, with great respect to him, that he, when he was set off, it really made everybody at the label really understand. Because I was already done with my album. I was just sitting on the sidelines. I was on the bench. So, you know, I give credit to D for being the person to sort of really get my record off the shelf.
Right.
And then I give a lot of credit to the radio stations that just, they played it without an understanding what this was
what
about.
Because, right?
You know, I looked crazy. You know, I was big old hair and everything. And, you know, having all the weird West Indian type of thing, which... That's not atypical, really, for an R&B person. Usually they're from the South. Usually they're like with D'Angelo, his story is so perfect. Like, he's from Richmond, Virginia. Mm-hmm. He played in the church. You know, like, my dad's from Puerto Rico. My mom's from Haiti. Like, I'm like, first generation from Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't even feel black enough, really. So for me, it was like, man, I hope my people like this music as much as I love them. And, you know, 20 years later, it's just nice to know that I
always wondered why you didn't do many features. Like, there's pretty much no Maxwell features.
Yeah. You know, well, I mean, look, I'm not saying I'm better than anybody because there's a lot of people out there that I like, but a lot of my choices are kind of like family type choices. Like, Nas was signed, released 95. Mm-hmm. I was there 96.
So y'all kind of grew up together.
Well, yeah, you know, yeah. I was shocked that he even liked my music because, you know, he's Nas, he's listening to hip hop, my stuff is all smooth. And we developed a friendship and, you know, we basically worked on something once on one of his records, Street Kings. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we just did the Barkley thing together. And, you know, we have more plans to do more business stuff together because we just get on. And then Alicia Keys, who I knew at 15 at Columbia when she was signed there, she was kind of like my special guest on her first album. So I know her, I know Swizz,
I thought you were going to do a joint with Jay-Z and JD at one time, because during the Money in the Thing video, when he's sitting there, they're playing it in the background. I'm like, this is here it goes.
Oh, my God, that's my next move. I mean, you know, if Jay is listening, because we're friends, and I see him all the time, and I know his wife, and...
I've heard of his wife.
Yeah, his wife is... Yeah. His wife is cool. I'm from Brooklyn, he's from Brooklyn. You know, it'd be amazing. I think he is the Frank Sinatra of hip hop because all of his beats,
absolutely.
He never plays himself.
Mm-hmm. Never.
I mean, literally, and the craziest thing is when Reasonable Doubt came out, he always just chooses like the classic things and you can listen to all those records forever. And that's rare, man. Like, people don't understand it's so much harder to make hip hop classic because there's so many ways that you could really play yourself. With like all the new trends and the new things that people do with vocoder and whatever and blah, blah, blah.
You can dress like R. Kelly. R. Kelly still dressed like he 18.
Well, you see, I can't say nothing bad about him. I mean, Fortunate, I never sing anybody's records. And Fortunate, when I heard it, wasn't actually the first song, but when I heard it, I was like, because you just got to pay respect to him because that guy can just, I mean, he could just... pee out a song, you know, like,
whoa, great, Maxwell, yes,
he could have said,
yes, Maxwell, yes, nobody even had to set you up for that one,
man,
that was great,
I was gonna say,
out of all the bodily fluids you could have said,
oh, God,
you say pee out,
oh, God, please, Mr. Kelly, please don't,
yes, Maxwell, yes,
I didn't mean to do that, I was gonna say something else, but I didn't want to say that because it's a curse,
the universe made you say what you needed to say,
man,
we appreciate you, man.
It's Drake with Controller. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest, and this is the only guest in Breakfast Club history that has ever smoked up here.
And you're not going to tell Snoop Dogg no.
When
he lights up.
We sure didn't.
Did we get in trouble for that?
No.
Ladies
and gentlemen, Snoop Dogg!
Hey! we just had a healthy debate with Drama. Is Snoop the most famous rapper in the world? I said yes.
Globally. He said no matter where you go in this world, no matter who it is, race, age,
Everybody knows Snoop Dogg.
I said it was between you and Hov.
He said you are the biggest brand.
I don't know. It's like an out-of-body experience for me. It's hard for me to say because I live with me every day. So I don't know who the biggest rapper is globally, but I do know that when I do go certain places, like, it's hard to try to, like, camouflage, disguise, whatever. Even baby girl at the front desk, I just gave her another picture. What's her name?
Miss Anita.
Miss Anita.
That's my baby. That's my baby.
Yes. But is it? Have you ever
she
gone?
She smoked too, so slip her a little something.
That's
when
my
you
baby. She got that. I give her a nip. Yeah. I give her a nip.
When's the last time you've been somewhere and haven't been recognized? Has that happened? See, it doesn't happen.
On some real talk, I'm being honest with you. I don't even remember the last time it's been like that. I done been to grocery stores, churches, underwater.
Underwater.
I didn't even look. This
the
crazy.
Like, Snoop, what up?
This is the crazy part. I done been and done some, you know, homeless work where you go down there and feed the homeless, and the homeless be like, Snoop Dogg, what's happening, dog? I'm like, man, how do you know me? You ain't got no TV. You ain't got no what you say. So I don't know. I can't figure it out.
And you just have adjusted to this social media era so well. Like, it's a famous meme. But they got you with your headscarf on.
And I look like somebody auntie. Hey, Charlamagne, I don't care, though. One thing about me.
You post it. You be posting it.
When people make fun of me, when they clown me, when they put me in a girl body with my head on it or with a rabbit suit on, I see it. I throw it up, and I like, who did this to me? And I go right in the joke. So I don't understand when people get offended when I do that to them, when I do it to myself. It's like, it's all fun and games.
As long as it's funny, it should be okay.
That's what it should be about. You know, when I got into the social media game, I didn't really understand it. Because I was like, I don't really want people in my business like that. But then I was like, damn, I'm the type of person that always go up to the fans. I always do this anyway, so I might as well just open up and, you know, let them be a part of my world every day.
Now, we've seen a video of you and Game walking to the precinct in L.A. Yeah. What was that all about? Explain that. And why did you guys felt like you had to do it?
Well, the morning before it happened, Game, it hit me, and he was, like, on 100. And he was hot, and I was hot. We was just mad at all of the violence that was happening to these innocent people by the police. So, you know, I was ready to do whatever, so I was basically following his lead because I felt like it's a young man's game and he's younger than me and he's going to take the lead and I'm going to follow this soldier. When he hit me back, I told him, I said, look, I don't want you to overreact. I want you to think about everything that you're going to do and put a real plan together and hit me when you get your plan together and I'm with you. So then he went and made a call to Farrakhan for 3 hours and did all the things he had to do to prepare himself. Then he hit me back at about 3 a.m. was like, meet me here at 5 a.m. He didn't say nothing else. So I'm like, I don't know what's going on, so I got dressed to go to war.
Yeah, you look like you was ready to win.
He had on the chucks, the flannel.
Hold on,
you didn't even
say, let's think about this at all.
He just gave, when you get the back call, Charlamagne, you just show up.
He just showed
up. I wasn't going to be putting my shoes on, talking about, hold on, I'll be there. I was there. So when I get there, I'm fully loaded and ready to go, and I'm looking around, they passing off shirts and everybody on peace, and he got us all in a circle, and he said something that was so deep. He was like, you know what? I didn't even know what I was going to do when I came here. But now that I'm looking at the spirit of everything, this is what I want to do. And I want y'all to follow me on this. I want us to walk down to the precinct and reintroduce ourselves to the police department and let them reintroduce themselves to us so we can get some sort of dialogue going. And we listened to him. And we was like, man, that's kind of dope because we never talk to the police unless it's too late. Mm-hmm. Let's get that understanding right now. So while we walking down there, police escorting us there. Then when we get there, come to find out, the new recruits are graduating right now, about to go hit the streets in a matter of 24 hours, and we standing outside. Mm. And the chief of police is there, and the mayor is there. So they hear that we outside marching peacefully with the Nation of Islam with us. So they send the word that the chief would love to meet with me, Game, and two other of our people with the mayor behind closed doors. So we went up there, talked with him, chopped it up, got some understanding, wasn't arguing, wasn't talking bad, wasn't, you know, down planning. We was trying to get some understanding and some dialogue. Mm-hmm. They had a couple of meetings since then, and it's looking like it's going to be a great situation in L.A. with the police and the communities because we sick and tired of talking after the fact when we could talk before the fact.
Right. But this has been going on forever, especially in L.A. The first time that we ever saw real police violence was the Rodney King take.
But it's never been communication. And one thing about L.A., we have sheriffs and we have police department. The sheriff's department have minor incidents because they are sent to the county jail for 18 months as a part of their training before they hit the streets. Mm. The LAPD don't get no communication with the streets until they hit the streets. So there's a miscommunication off the jump. If you're scared, you never dealt with nobody from the hood, you don't know what he looked like, how he get out, you already got a different perception on him. But if you've been in the county jail, you've been around them, you know their lingo, they know you, it's a different perspective. When the sheriffs pull up, all the sheriffs want is dope and guns. If you ain't got no dope or no guns, they letting you go. They not going to shoot you. Well, they don't shoot you that much. But they not going to shoot you on GP.
Right.
The LAPD, they got a different agenda. So we was trying to get that understanding on, let's get some different protocols so they could be around these people in the community before they start policing this community.
Keep it locked. Snoop's here. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
That was Tory Lanez with Love. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Snoop Dogg's in the building now. Charlamagne?
Did you learn how to de-escalate stuff, like, probably during, like, do you wish you had that same mentality during the whole East Coast, West Coast fiasco?
I think I did at the Source Awards. That was a perfect example of de-escalation because Suge Knight had it escalated to, I seen people reaching for pistols, and I seen pistols in there. Was no police security. It was all hood security. It was New York versus Death Row Records at that point. And my conversation on that stage brought New York to a point to where they said, you know what? We're going to let y'all get out of here.
To us, that looked hostile.
Yeah. When it was very hostile because it was me saying that I know where I'm at, but at the same time, y'all know this is gangster rap that we do. We don't just talk it. We live it. So if you really, really in the mix, this is what takes place in the mix. And at that time, Puffy wasn't with it like that. He was making his music. He wasn't with the, you know, I ain't with the rah-rah. I'm with the music. Suge was with the rah-rah. And it's like, you know, it was a fine line because Puffy and them was my friends. But I'm riding with Death Row. And at the same time, I'm in New York. So it's like, if I don't say the right words, we all going to get killed.
Damn. So why come back and kick the buildings over?
Because something happened. Because something happened that I ain't gonna speak on. That we took that on the chin and said we'll just get it back on this side. You know what I'm saying? Like when you involved into the art of war, certain losses you take, certain, you know, sacrifices you make, it come with the territory. And we knew where it came from. We knew who sent the shot. And we never had a problem with him. We allowed that to happen because we knew in the art of war, that's what happens when you... You're getting busy, you gotta take what you get. You know what I'm saying? So it's like we lived through it, we survived it, we forgave and we forgot, and we moved forward. The parties that was involved, we met behind closed doors and we got to understand, yeah, cause I know you sent that at me. That was a good shot, you missed though. I forgive you, we gonna move forward. I ain't gonna send nothing at you when you're on my side. We gravy, we good.
Can you tell the story about Nas, man? That was the first time you met Nas, you said?
Yeah, the first time I met Nasty Nas, I was in Gardena. On 35th, one of those streets.
And that's a Crip neighborhood.
Yeah, shotguns. And I was out there hanging tough with my homeboys, and a white van pulls up, and it got like about 15, 16 people in it. And all of a sudden, the door opened. Boom. Some dude jump out, and sweatpants is lifted up to his knee with some boots on.
And he got on red sweatshirt.
He got on all red, running right towards me. So the homies is like, they finna draw down on him. I'm like, hold on, cuz, that's the rapper from New York. That's Nasty Nas, cuz. So he come over to me and he shake my hand. I'm like, cuz, it's a pleasure to meet you, but let me let you know, when you ever in LA, don't ever jump out with no red or no blue on, cause you don't know what neighborhood you in, loved one. Take my number down, so I'll holler at you next time you come to the city.
Crazy, cause I tell you the time Nas pulled out a gun on me. I ran up on Nas like that.
What?
I ran up on Nas. I had a mixtapes in the bag. I ran up on him just like that. Yo, Nas, I got something for you. And I was going in my bag to pull it out.
Not a good
idea. By the time I came out, he
said, sounds sketchy.
What you got for me? I said, it's a CD, my CD.
I got something for me.
I got something.
What you got? Yeah, what you got for me?
Yeah, you used to roll like that at one point. Snoop used to have a briefcase.
Yeah, all that old stuff, that man. Hey, Charlamagne, I'm peace now. What I understood about about moving with the peace, when I had the gun, have gun problems, we'll travel. You know what I'm saying? They say have gun, we'll travel. Have gun, problems, we'll travel. When I removed the gun from my game, I had less issues because I was able to finesse and able to be more strategic with my conversation. When I had the gun with me, I was, you know, reckless because I had that thing and I thought that thing was the, you know, just like everybody else with one of them things. Their conversation is more reckless. When you ain't got one, you're more understanding, and that's where I wanted to be. I wanted to be about peace as opposed to pushing violence.
And you said you first smoked weed with your son, right?
My oldest son.
Your oldest son.
Yeah.
We did that question here on The Breakfast Club, I think. Would you smoke weed with your child to keep him from doing it in the street?
Yeah, because like I say, you know, what I'm going to give him is the righteous way. I don't know what y'all going to put in there. You may lace it. You know, it may be, I don't know, because it happened to me before. I've been laced with some things, so I don't trust the game. So I would rather get him, you know, schooled for me personally on the understanding on what is and what not and what to do and what not to do.
I think they did that to you on purpose because they know you Snoop. And everybody want to outsmoke Snoop. So let me lace this blunt real quick just to say I outsmoke Snoop.
I don't
Snoop.
Even take blunts from people no more. You know, it used to be, I used to be in the crowd. I used to be reckless, man. I'd be in the crowd and they hand me a blunt. I'd be like, oh, and then I start looking at these people like,
I'm cool.
I'm cool.
I'm going to tell you how you influenced me recently. We were having a cookout and I was going to make some turkey franks.
Oh.
Ugh.
And then my friend was like, you got to see Snoop finding out what is in these hot dogs and you're not going to eat that again. You know we threw the pack of franks out.
Give me some.
Tell us what's in the hot dogs and turkey franks.
No,
now.
It ain't. That's the same. Ugh.
For real?
It's
really?
The same machine, man. It's nasty, man. Did you see that?
Mm-mm. You have to see it. It'll make you never eat it again. I'm telling you.
It's really? Horrible, man. I can't get out. I used to come to New York. My hotel got a hot dog man that's right on the corner. Me and Cub been cool for 20 years. I don't even look at him no more. I just walk right past him. Like, he like, Snoop, my hot dogs are waiting for you. No, I'm no good, cuz. I seen what y'all doing. I'm cool on you.
DMX was here a few weeks ago. He ate four of them.
I saw about that.
No, he did. He threw up immediately.
No, he did.
Four of them right on the corner. He was drunk. He ate four and threw up immediately.
But they gave him a whole bottle. He drank a whole bottle of Henny, and then he was hungry. Then he had four hot dogs, threw up all over the street.
That's my dog, right? He the only person that ever got me to drink Hennessy at an award show.
Wow.
And I mean at an award show that's on TV, like we was at the Grammys or something. He was sitting like two seats down, and he had a Hennessy bottle. He was just, big dog, you want some? And I said, I couldn't even say no. I was like, yeah, get here, cuz. I'm like, whoa. And we sitting up in there getting drunk in the Grammys in front of all these white folks with real Hennessy, no cup, straight out the bottle.
Mm-mm.
Shout out to DMX for keeping it hood.
Snoop, you ain't never cared about your image in front of white folks.
Goodness gracious. Well, Snoop, we appreciate you joining us.
Man, thank y'all for having me, man. It's one of my favorite shows to do just because y'all always keep it 100. Y'all keep it real. Y'all solid with me. I've done interviews with y'all individually and together, and I love what y'all stand for. Continued success. I'm glad to see y'all on a real TV network, too.
Thank you, my brother.
It's the Breakfast Club of Snoop Dogg.
Hello.
Charlamagne, say the gang, dunk it utter shame, man.
You are a donkey. It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkey of the Day does not discriminate.
I might not have the song of the day, but I got the donkey of the day.
So if you ever feel I need to be a donkey, man, hit me with the heat.
Yeah, the Breakfast Club, bitches.
Who's Donkey of the Day today?
Donkey of the Day goes to a math teacher in Mobile, Alabama. Salute to everybody listening to us on 100.3 The Beat in Mobile. Now, when I first reported this, the teacher hadn't been identified by the school, but Mobile held me down like I knew they would, and they hit me up on social media, at C to God on Instagram, at C to God on Twitter, C-T-H-A-G-O-D, and this teacher has been identified as Joanne Boser, okay? Parents say she's set to retire this year. Now, she is a veteran educator, and she's in her last year before retirement, and she clearly doesn't give a damn anymore. She's like President Barack Obama in his last year in the White House.
Just, you think he don't give a damn?
She don't give a damn. Just freeing and shortening the sentences of drug offenders, inviting rappers over. He don't care. F what y'all talking about. I'm out this bitch. And this teacher in Mobile, Alabama must be feeling the same way because she gave her kids what is being called a gang math test.
What's that?
Let me repeat and I'll tell you. She gave her kids what is being called a gang math test. Yes, this teacher was teaching the kids a little crip calculus, some basic blood math. Yes, according to the NY Daily News, the math teacher was put on administrative leave after she handed out a racially charged math test to her eighth grade students that made gang references about drive-by shootings, prostitution, and drugs. I can't make this kind of stuff up, people. Oh. I'm not that good. All right, parents at Burns Middle School were outraged to find out their kids had been given a 10-question quiz where you had to put your gang crew name at the top. On the example, I saw somebody put the plug for that. And it had questions like, Ramon has an AK-47. With a 30-round clip. He usually misses 6 out of every 10 shots, and he uses 13 rounds per drive-by shooting. How many drive-by shootings can Ramon attempt before he has to steal enough ammunition and reload? Another question is, Leroy has 2 ounces of cocaine.
Oh, my god!
If he sells an 8-ball to Antonio for $320 and 2 grams to Juan for $85 per gram, what is the street value of the rest of his hold?
I bet you know the answers, though.
I really don't.
Oh.
Hold up! Okay, because this might be my favorite one. LaShonda is a lookout for the gang. Lacuna also has a boa constrictor that eats 5 rats per week at a cost of $5 per rat. If LaShonda makes $700 a week as a lookout, how many weeks can she feed the boa on 1 week's income? First of all, who the hell got boa constrictors in the hood just lying around? Y'all think I'm making this up. Let's go to the New York Daily News for the report, please.
A Mobile, Alabama math teacher was put on administrative leave after she handed out a racially charged math test to her 8th grade students that made gang references like drive-by shootings, prostitution, and drugs. Parents at the Burns Middle School were outraged to find their kids had been given the 10-question quiz, asking them to answer questions about turning tricks, stolen BMWs, and knocking up women.
Do I even have to tell y'all why this
four
is
weeks.
Wrong?
She could feed the boa constrictor for 4 weeks.
Shut up, Pete. Do I even have to tell y'all why this is wrong? Okay. Let me read one more. Let's see if Angelique can get this one.
Okay, all right.
Tyrone knocked up 4 girls in the gang.
Hold on. 4 girls.
There are 20 girls in his gang.
Okay.
What is the exact percentage of the girls Tyrone knocked
20%.
up? 20%. Okay. I got another one. Dwayne pimps 3 hoes.
3 hoes.
Okay. And then they asked the students to figure out how many tricks each of the hookers must turn in a day to support Dwayne's crack habit. I'm not, that's just ridiculous.
Well, I don't understand. How do you know that?
Listen, man, listen. Teachers, you don't have to try to be cool. This isn't what's popping in these streets. We shouldn't legitimize the gang and drug culture via math tests, making it seem like these are some honorable professions that are worthy of being turned into math equations. How about deal with the reality of this situation and ask the kids questions like, if Tyrone gets caught with 40 kilos of cocaine, 3 illegal guns, and 1 dead body in the trunk, how many years will he get under the jail? How about if Shamika pulls out a gun and shoots near a schoolyard at a rival gang member named Shaquana, but accidentally shoots a 12-year-old boy in the head and kills him? How long would that 12-year-old boy be dead, and how much time in prison will Shamika get? The answer for all those questions should be forever, okay? Listen, man, I don't know what kind of world we live in anymore. It's bad enough that, you know, the criminal lifestyle has been commercialized via music, TV, movies, and I'm fine with that to a certain extent, but now it's invading the classroom. Why? What is the reason these images are being planted in our kids' heads, making it seem like this criminal behavior is normal? What if none of these kids have ever been exposed to any of this kind of stuff, but now they are in school? What's next? They're going to teach you how much Sprite should be in every pint of lean in chemistry class? Huh? They're going to teach you how to run from cops in gym class? Home economics class, you're going to learn how to cook up a nice kilo of cocaine? Huh? Like, stop it. Don't go chasing crip calculus. Stick to the same old arithmetic and English you used to. Please give Joanne Bosa of Burn Middle School the biggest hee-haw, please.
Can you send me those questions? I want to answer them.
Why?
I just want to see if I still, you know math like I used to.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Our guy, Jay Farrow.
Birdman is here.
Hey, look, listen. Y'all better put some respect on my neck. Why I sound like somebody? He sound like you want to break down. Like somebody took his lunch or something like that.
He got emotional, man. Sometimes people get really, really angry and they want to hurt something so bad that they get emotional like that.
Hey, Bean Siegel. Hey, he. Listen, anytime you see a grown man take a straw and start chewing it, like, it's some problem. But listen, yes, you did. You did. Yeah, you did. You made that little girl cry. So I can leave because I think you a bitch.
I think you should leave.
And he sat back down. I was like, what is going on?
That's kind of like when I get in a fight with my boyfriend and I'd be like, I'm leaving, I'm out. And he's like, all right. And then you're like, I'm not really.
Like, well, it didn't work out the way I wanted it to.
Well, Jay Farrell's here. Now, what's going on, man? What happened with Saturday Night Live?
Yeah, how you let the fire you, man?
Let's get right into it.
Wait. Hold on, man. I got White Famous, and it's a good move. So I was like, all right, let's do that. So that's exactly what happened. I got White Famous. I auditioned for it. I got the pilot.
White Famous is a show.
I thought he was saying, like,
I don't know what he's talking about, Jay.
What the hell is he talking about? That's the show. That's the show that Jamie Foxx is doing?
That's the show So okay. Tim Story that did Ride Along. He's directing it. Jamie Foxx is producing. Tom Capinos wrote it. And man, it was, we shot the pilot. It was dope. Like, it's nothing on television is going to be like.
And it got greenlit, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think we all think it's about to. We all got that feeling. So we'll find out like a week.
So you didn't get fired. They tried to make it seem like you got fired, then you picked up this new job.
Like, yeah, it was like a transitional thing, man. Like, you know, any place where you feel like, and I thank SNL for all of its opportunities that it did provide, but anytime you feel like you feel kind of slighted, it's like, all right, well, you know, go do your thing. So, you know,
Why wouldn't they let you do both though?
They didn't want to work on my schedule, so I was like, all right, cool. Well, you know, I seen the check for White Famous. I said, I'm out this bitch. Deuces. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So
who's gonna do black characters now and the black voices?
I guess Michael Che, who Michael everybody che, thinks is me. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess they're gonna have Pete do Obama. Yeah, man, yeah. That's my dude. I seen his special. Shout out to Pete. SMD. That was dope.
Yeah, but, that's funny.
Yeah, I don't know who's gonna do it, man. I know they got Keenan. He gonna do it. I mean, shoot, ain't Keenan bigger, you know.
Yeah, Pete said he was shocked when they got it was you and what's the other dude's name?
Taron Killam.
Yeah, he said he was shocked because y'all did all the impersonations. So he was like, well, damn, I might be next because I don't do 90% of what they can do.
It's so crazy that like I'll do something off the show and it will go super viral. Mm-hmm. Like everything I've been doing has been going like super viral. So I guess I don't know if they saw it like, hey, you know, you're good now. You can kind of stand alone. I don't know what it was, but, you know, they didn't work on my schedule.
So it wasn't a pink slip. It wasn't a, hey, Mr. Farrell, your services are no longer needed.
It was more of a, well, you have this other thing going on. We can't accommodate that. So
yeah. You
have to pick and choose. And you chose White Famous.
Does Lauren call you directly when stuff like that happens? Or?
No.
Keep it real.
No. He sent me an email. Like, I emailed him. He sent me an email back. And I saw him at the party, and he gave me a hug. He was like, you have so much going on, and you're good, and I love you and everything. I was like, all right, thank you. So it's that's my fam, man. It's no bad blood. And he always said, yo, you know you're part of the family no matter what. And I was like, yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
Now, so what if the pilot don't get picked up? I'm sure it will.
It will, but I got...
Don't throw that in the air.
Come on, man.
I'm sure it will, but just what if it...
I mean, shoot, I'm on the road. I got three movies I'm fitting to do, and I'm working, bro.
That's it. That's it.
You know what I mean? So,
all right, now, another thing I was asking you about, I was telling you when you walked in. There's a comedian I was talking to, and he was kind of mad about some things you said about him on The Breakfast Club.
What'd he say?
Because they were true. Donnell Rollins.
What'd you say about Donnell?
Well, Donnell Rollins, you know, it's tough out here, people. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. The Chappelle show was like 12 years ago. So, it's not like he's like an Hollywood pop. It's not like he's doing like Bad Boys 3. And he got mad, yo, he tweeted me. He was like, yo, son, you taking shots? I was like, nah, dog, these are jokes, but it's real.
Yeah, then he said he ran into you and it was beef.
Beef?
He said you backed down.
Nah.
You let Donnell Rollins back you down?
He didn't back me
I'm
down.
I'm kidding. He didn't say that.
I was like, yo, what the hell? Like, that did not happen. That did not happen at all.
He didn't say something really crazy.
What was the beef? I missed that one.
It wasn't even a beef. It was just I made a joke and he tweeted me and that was all it was.
Yeah.
And when I seen him, I just wanted to make sure because he tweeted me. I was like, he must have felt some type of way.
Right.
So I was like, let me smooth it out. Hey, dude, I was just joking. Oh, yeah, son.
It's funny because sometimes people could tweet you and you could take it the wrong way. Because what if when he tweeted you, he was really joking, you know? And you're like, yo, son, you take a shot and you read it that way.
Yeah.
That happens all the time. You try to play with somebody.
I hate, man.
Envy's very sensitive, yes.
I hate Twitter, though. Like, I hate Twitter.
I saw
Twitter.
You take a break from it after they announced you got fired. You took
I was just chilling because I was getting so many tweets like, hey, I hope you all right and all this. And I'm like.
No, you wasn't.
Not
on Twitter. They'd be like, I'm glad you got fired.
Nah, you ain't never
been funny.
Nah, they 80% of the people, 80% of the people that was hitting me up was like, yo, man, I'm sorry to hear about this. And then 20%, you know, most of the black people, yeah, nigga, I'm glad. I'm glad he off there. He won't never funny in the first place. Like you said, you won't never funny. Twitter's mean, man. That's why I lost weight.
It is mean.
I see you taking a lot of selfie pictures. I don't follow you, bro.
You unfollow me because I was taking selfies.
It was too many.
Hey,
it's too many, man.
Hey, I'm trying to inspire
insecure,
the world.
Man. You made me insecure.
I'm trying to inspire the world. Listen, Dean Edwards said, yo, son, I feel uncomfortable with all these ad pics. I said, press the unfollow.
I told my wife it was steroids. She was like, look, I said, that's steroids, man.
He went to Dr. Miami.
Hey, the hips are gone.
So you lost weight because everybody was clowning you?
I lost weight because, listen, I never recovered from when I did a VMAs 2014. They lit my ass up talking about my hips, bro. It's talking about you look like Barney. I said, what? Barney? I said, I had to do it, man. Like, seriously, they did a side by side with me and Nicki Minaj said who wore it better. You don't remember that? And then I was winning. Like, I had to do something, bro.
How'd you lean up?
I started running like my cardio game is crazy.
Yeah.
Like I run like nine miles a day.
Wow, that's crazy.
For like 2 months. And then I just kept being consistent with it, and I would now I'm running like five, whatever. But when I was in Tokyo, like last week, like I ran 16 miles in a day. Like,
wow.
I don't play around with cardio. And then I got a trainer too, so you know, I'm trying to get them Marvel superhero roles, son.
Now, hold on.
I know where the money is.
How much is the training now? Because you just got fired. You got to think about things.
Hey, come
like
on,
this.
Man.
No, for real. I've been fired four times. Trust me, there's certain things you got to cut out. How much is the training, Jay?
Train is complimentary.
Okay. Okay.
I gotta just post abs in the gym.
Yeah. He's like, hey, man, just give me a tag. I'm like, all right.
All right, we got more with Jay Farrell. That was J. Cole. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, formerly of SNL, we have Jay Farrell in the building. Now, Yee?
So, Jay, we've been talking about your weight loss. I know a lot of women you say you've been getting, but are a lot of guys trying to holler at you? Envy gets a lot of guys trying to holler
at
you.
When my hips were bigger, they definitely was trying to holler at my ass. That's another reason. I had to cut that. Do you know Felice Johnson?
He got out of
booty warrior. He got out of jail.
No,
they
didn't. Oh, Felice Johnson.
Yes, he did.
Oh,
yeah. He did. Yes, he did.
Felice is out. I thought he was in it forever.
I think they
let
put him
Google
in the
this.
Half. I'm sick. Yo, he got out. So I think it was like a couple years ago he got out.
He tried to hide.
I'm just preparing. They said a halfway. There was like at one point it was a halfway house that wouldn't take him or something like that. And now I think he got out. So I didn't want him to like come at SNL like waiting around the corner. It's waiting like where the fuck Jay.
And they're like Felice Johnson is now on the loose.
And end up raping Michael Che
because
you're not dead no more.
Che hit me up, yo son, I got my cakes tossed. Like they thought I was you, son.
Can you watch the show? Do you watch it?
Yeah. Hey, I didn't watch it a lot. I watched it at a certain point before I got on the show. But, like, I wasn't, like, the current, like, I ain't know the Kristen Wiig and all of that, but it's the same thing. Like, I watch clips and stuff, like, oh, that was funny, or that was funny, whatever. So it's nothing like, huh, I'm getting flashbacks from my job and get my sketches cut if I watch the show or nothing. No.
Now, Lone Michael said that he told USA Today that y'all served the show well, you and Keelum, and that y'all are two people that you really care about, but change is the lifeblood of the show. It always has been. You got to keep bringing new people in.
But then... The only discrepancy I have with that statement is the fact that there have been people on the show for like almost 20 years.
That's what I said. I'm like, change is the lifeblood of the show.
Okay. I said, I put two hands. I was like, all right, cool. That's what's up. I said, that's the explanation you want to give. I was like, that's cool. I think everybody's like mad political about that. But it's people that's been there mad long.
Do you believe him when he says that he cares about you?
You Dr. Phil?
You heard the voice change?
Yeah. Do you?
I learned that from my
Yana.
Okay.
Yana.
Okay. 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 I don't know. I'm telling you, I don't know who that is. But
she does fix my life.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna look it up. So I'll be versed.
When you go Google it.
Next time I come in.
Do you think he really cares?
I think Lauren does care about us. You know. I don't think he would make decisions if he didn't believe in people's talent. So, you know, I believe it.
Yeah.
This situation we talked about earlier is about Mariah Carey.
Uh-oh.
She was engaged and she's no longer engaged.
Mm-hmm. Did I ever beat Mariah Carey?
No, man.
Oh. I was like, wait. I said, I was agreeing to you. And then he slipped. You be
beat
doing
Mariah
that.
Carey?
You be slipping, bro.
That's the headlines. You know
hey,
that.
I wanted, bro. I did want to, and I do want to, though. She's single.
But she's
right?
single now.
Yeah, she's single.
Word? Yeah, I like
Only
that.
Thing is this, all right? So now they're not getting married anymore. You know, he's a billionaire. She wants him to give her $50 million plus buy her a mansion in LA plus. She gets to keep the ring, which is worth about $10 million. Is there ever a case, you think, where a man should give some palimony up if you didn't get married but pay you?
I don't think no ass is worth giving that much money for.
He ain't even have sex with her.
What?
She said she's so traditional that she used to sleep in another bedroom.
She Sierra'd his ass.
Even on the yacht, she said they slept in different rooms.
She
on
don't
the yacht.
Nah, she don't get 50 then. You ain't give me no booty. You Mariah Carey. Nothing. You gave me no ass.
And we ain't married, we ain't got no kids.
$50 million, a house in LA and the ring.
Get the fuck out of here.
Does sex feel better without hips?
Wait, what?
Does it feel better without hips?
Is he flirting?
That's why Charlamagne,
what you mean?
Cause you asking me these pause questions.
You used to have hips. You say you don't have hips no
Stop
more.
Stop looking down at his hips.
You look down right there. I think you're halfway flirting.
Charlamagne needs him to grab onto.
You're sitting like a cat and like this. Hey, what is up?
What is?
The pose, though, the pose is killing me. Like, what is he doing it again? The sex feel better without hips. What the?
You know what I mean?
Pause. Pause, Charlamagne. Super pause.
But does it feel better?
What's wrong with
you? And you still asking the question.
I don't know that you've lost weight. I don't know how to.
Well, can I be honest with you? Stamina wise, I've never been a minute dude. Never, ever.
Never, not once in your life.
Never.
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 Somebody gonna tweet us.
Yeah, definitely.
Sure. Hey, I swear, if anybody, please stand up. Please stand up. But the stamina from exercising and everything, mm-hmm. like I'm on Super Saiyan Blue right now. Like you can't mess with me. You know, y'all don't get that reference because watch that.
Yeah.
You get that reference.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, we got more with Jay Farrell when we come back. Keep it locked, don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
That was Beyonce with Sorry. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, formerly of SNL, we have Jay Farrell in the building. Now, you do a lot of impersonations. Do you get flack from doing it? They say, well, you're not funny because all you are is impressions.
Well, from what a lot of people have seen online or whatever, like, they'll say, oh, he do impressions. Well, that's all he do. But the people that actually come to my shows and they see it, they're like, wow, you do everything. And I'm like, yeah. Mm-hmm. When I was younger, it was a lot more impression stuff. But, you know, now I'm just talking about me, dog, and, like, everything I've been through. And it's fun now.
Yeah, I saw you talking about politics. You said we're screwed either way. So it's just a matter of you want the whole dick or just the tip.
That's the truth. That's the thing. Like, you know, we're screwed. I just said
Well, this Saturday.
You don't want to say it to Charlamagne. You want to say it to Envy.
Just because you ain't said no part. You didn't sat like this. The cat pose. Don't do. Come on, man. Charlamagne, you make me very uncomfortable.
It's very uncomfortable looking. See how they act looking. Together when you're not around.
All right, yeah. So what else you got in your phone? Your bullet points, man.
Listen, nah. What else you got in there? Nah, man. We were just the weight loss. I think we really talked about everything.
I like that. I like when guests come prepared with what they know they want to talk.
I think we talked about everything. Shots.
Yeah, you think there's Molly?
No. Did you do it?
No. Come on, girl. Don't do that. Don't do that. I got Molly.
You did Molly before?
I didn't do it. I got drugged. I actually did get drugged.
Really?
It was this white. I was at a white party. Mm. All white. And then this girl said, we going to do some drugs. And I'm thinking, weed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then her friend was like, no, we're not doing hardcore drugs. I was like, wait a minute. What do you mean? What universe is this hardcore drug? And then she was like, no, we're doing Molly. I was like, nigga, no. And then she dropped it in my drink. I didn't know, and I drank the champagne, and then I was gone.
What happened?
Did you at least smash the chicks?
It didn't work.
Oh.
It didn't, yeah.
But your penis didn't work?
No.
Had ED.
Was soft the whole time.
That's what you blamed it on? The Molly?
What else happened?
That's what you blamed it on, Jay?
Maybe you needed a dog to come lick your balls.
I'm going to wait. I'm going to leave because I think you a bitch.
Well, I think you should leave then because you don't get hard.
All right.
Wow. What does that have to do with you?
All right.
Still, you know what? I'm telling you, there's so many suspect moments in this bitch today.
Does Charlamagne kick you out?
Charlamagne,
it just keeps happening. We don't mean for it to happen.
I think, but it's so natural. It comes so natural to y'all. What the hell? Like, all right.
All right.
But Charlamagne doesn't want you here anymore because you don't get hard.
Jay.
Why are you looking at him like that?
He's still doing it. This pose, is killing. Yo. Okay.
All right.
All right.
Jay Farrell.
There you have it. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Let's do it.